Welcome back to Creative Therapy Umbrella. This is a place where we talk about all different types of creative arts therapy, expressive therapies, and creative approaches to therapy. My name is Kate Shannon, and I am your host. I am a board-certified music therapist as well as a licensed clinical professional counselor. Today's episode is jam-packed, and what I love about today's episode is Krista Butler. She shares with us the importance of creativity for ourselves as creative therapists. I think of this as self as therapist work, and really creative self as therapist work, or self as creative therapist work. It's such a great episode, jam-packed with not only concepts about creativity in itself, using creativity in sessions, yes, but more so on how we can tap into creativity, use it for ourselves, and the importance of doing this as creative therapists. So Krista Butler is our guest today, and she is a hobbyist photographer, writer, plant mom, nature lover, and content creator on Instagram. She's also the owner and founder of Creative Minds at Play, LLC. She is a works full-time as a director of counseling programs at a nonprofit organization and part-time at private practice as well at Seven Corners Psychotherapy in Northern Virginia. She is a licensed professional counselor, registered play therapy supervisor, a nationally certified TFCBT therapist, and a board-approved licensure supervisor by the Virginia Board of Counseling. Before we hop into this amazing episode, we are going to take a quick break for a message from our sponsor for this episode.
At Dynamic Links, we are passionate about serving neurodiverse individuals in an inclusive and affirming way. And we want to help you do the same with the launch of our Dynamic Community. Our Dynamic Community is a monthly subscription program where you get easy-to-use session plans with 5 original songs and activities delivered directly to your inbox every month. On top of all those goodies in the session plan, you also get 1 hour of group supervision each month and a 15-minute mini lecture on a teaching topic to support your neurodiverse clients. The theme for each month is based around that topic, full of original songs, music and movement activities, visual supports, and more.
Ready to join? Visit dynamiclinks.com/community to sign up today.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that sponsorship message, and let's dive right into this awesome episode. Enjoy! All right, Krista, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, I am pumped that you're here. We have so much in common of all the things we love talking about. And I think we could really do 20 episodes, but I am pumped about the topic for today's episode. So thank you for coming on and taking the time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here. And I love to talk about creativity. And so I appreciate having a space where I can just share, you know, a part of who I am as an individual, first of all, and also as a therapist.
Yes. Yes. It's nice to have that space. I think I haven't really thought about it that way, but sometimes when we can share, I think that's what's so nice about listening to podcasts and people's experiences and who they are and what they bring to therapy is it's really inspiring. So, I'm glad we have this space too. This is going to be fun.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, for our listeners, tell us a little bit about what you do currently in your practice.
Okay. So I'll just start by just sharing a little bit about me as a person first. And so I'm Krista. I'm a hobbyist photographer. I'm a writer. I'm an indoor gardener. We're probably going to talk more about my love of plants. It's something that I just naturally like to share and to bring up. And so I might pop that in. And I'm also a content creator for Instagram. I'm the owner and founder of Creative Minds at Play. I work full time as a director of counseling programs at a nonprofit organization and part-time in private practice at Seven Corners Psychotherapy in Northern Virginia. I am a licensed professional counselor, a registered play therapist supervisor. I am nationally certified in TFCBT, and I'm also a board-approved licensure supervisor with the Virginia Board of Counseling.
Awesome. Oh, I love that so much. And I really appreciate, I think I might start changing that first question, because normally we just kind of dive in of like, what is, but I love that you started of like who you are, and because it's actually just something we've talked about off air, and it's so important who we are, not just what we do or who we, what our work identity, but there's so much of our personal identity that's just so integrated when we're creative, when we, you know, use play, art, dance, drama, all of that stuff. So much of that is so important in our work. So I am so thankful that you gave that at the front end. And I think I'm going to start changing my question with that. I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. So one thing that I think to myself is that I am a creative person before I am a therapist. And I think we're all creative in some way. So it's a little redundant to say creative person, but you know, just to, I guess for sake of the episode, I love creativity, and that is a part of who I have always been. And that is a part of what informs how I show up as a therapist. And so I love to share about, like, I'm a creative therapist or a creative person, and here are some of those ways that I use creativity or that I love to bring creativity into my life. So,
Yes. And it's so important that we have that we can like hold that of, you know, we are creative. I think everybody's creative.
Yes.
And we all do creative things that we may not even realize is creative throughout the day, throughout whatever we're doing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, bringing that into who we are. And I think that's really powerful for us to hold it outside of our therapy space too, is like, you know, almost like our sacred creativity of like, okay, this is just for me, or, you know, this is something I can bring in, but like, this might be one that I'm a little more protective with, and, you know, kind of digging into that. I feel like we don't talk about that so much, of that role of creativity in our life as individuals, as well as therapists, and what that looks like.
Absolutely. It is so interesting that you say that, because I like to, you know, do things creatively, like outside of my space as a therapist. And those are things that I typically don't like bring into the therapy space or into my office. Some things I may hang like a picture on the wall. But again, it's discreet. Like, no one knows that it's the picture that I created. You know, or like my colleagues might know, but not necessarily my clients. And there are some things that I might create at home that I, you know, prefer to not bring into the space, because in terms of just like professional boundaries, you know, it just, for me, it's not something that I would, you know, want to share or might not be appropriate to share with the client. And so, yeah, there's definitely those boundaries with it where I think it shows up in who we are as therapists. But then there's also the personal aspect to how we incorporate creativity into our lives. And in some ways, it might be more therapeutic for us. For example, it's like I like to like art journal or collage. And sometimes, like, if I'm having like a hard day at work, I might create like a sand tray in between seeing the client. And, you know, of course, that's going to be something that I'm going to put away before the next client comes in. But it's just, again, it is allowing me to use creativity as a therapist with my clients, but also using it as a self-healing tool, as a tool to release when I am holding from a previous session, or when there's things that's still like sitting with me from a previous session that I just need to release before I am able to move on and be fully present with another client.
Yes. And, you know, thinking of like those moments in between sessions can be so quick, you know, if it's sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's one. And you can't always, if you're someone who's like a verbal processor where you're like, I can't always just run to a colleague or, you know, process that. And it's so nice being creative therapists, we have access to all of those tools right in our room. And then we're kind of practicing what we're preaching.
Absolutely. It's practicing what we preach. And I think having those experiential moments with the work that we do by doing it ourselves helps to really, it helps to shape how we show up as therapists when we're doing those things with our clients. And, you know, I think it's just helpful when we're able to do the things that we're asking our clients to do. I think that's important to just, again, to have those experiences so that when we are doing them with our clients, there's a deeper level of appreciation and understanding and maybe even a different level of awareness of what might be coming up for our clients when we encourage them to engage in certain, you know, therapeutic interventions.
I love, so much the awareness of, like I was just thinking, if I decide to sit down and do like you had said, a sand tray between sessions to kind of process something that came up, and then you're also like, it's this cool role that we get to play when we're doing that, of we're being in the space and we're kind of, you know, using this in a therapeutic way for ourselves. But then we get the subjective and the objective, where then we can objectively be like, ooh, I felt some resistance there. And that felt like it was kind of like the sand was a big part of that. And now I can see how that could also play into someone else's resistance.
Absolutely.
Yes. We get to like double dip in a way.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, so powerful. I love that. Well, can you tell us a little bit more about the role of creativity in your life? And maybe we can kind of start of, you know, you talked a little bit about plants or photography. And what, you know, what feels that importance of having that creativity as part of your identity? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. So as far as like my, like photography, I discovered it, I would say 15 years ago. And yeah, I discovered it, I'll share, like the high school yearbook staff. So I was in high, like on my high school yearbook staff. And then in college, I was a psychology major, but I was also the editor in chief of our college yearbook. And so like, it's so funny because I used to have this reputation on college where I was the yearbook girl. And because I always had a camera, like always had a camera. And in my family, when there's like a family gathering or a special occasion, I'm usually the person where they're like, Krista, are you going to bring your camera? Are you planning on bringing your camera? And because I always have it. And they're like, okay, we have someone to take pictures.
Yes.
And so for me, you know, I think it's important to engage in our own creativity because it, again, it informs the work that we do, but I think of it like the parallel process, right? In therapy, right? We think about the parallel process and how the experience of the client is parallel process to the experience between the client and therapist and vice versa, how they mirror each other. And so the way I think of it is our comfort with creativity, how we respond to things, how our creativity shows up as a part of who we are as a therapist, right? And so it shows up in how we facilitate the therapeutic process. For example, you know, like responding with a sense of humor, being able to think quickly, rolling with resistance, finding a way in when a client is like stuck. Those things all require creative thinking. And, you know, therapists under the creative umbrella, we do those things, but we also work with creativity more directly. For example, you know, my work is, you know, I'm a play therapist. And so I use creativity in a lot of different ways where is, you know, in the playroom, it might be a directive therapeutic intervention, or it might be an non-directive therapeutic intervention, but knowing how to respond to the client in a way that is authentic and that is, you know, just working with what is presenting itself in the moment, that requires creative thinking. Basically, the, you know, it's the parallel process and how we deal with the parallel process in terms of the experience between the therapist and the client and vice versa. You know, I think having a comfort with creativity, clients have a feel for that. Like they can tell like when we are resistant to engaging with certain, let's say like glitter, for example. I think a lot of play therapists might be able to relate to this. Because like glitter, that's one of mine that I think I eventually actually like I had to find a compromise because like having loose glitter, oh my gosh, it gets everywhere. And like I would have it in my office for weeks, literally for weeks, trying to like clean it all up.
In my hair.
And I would notice
3 days later. Yes.
Yes.
And like, I've taken 4 showers and I still have glitter on my face.
Right. It's the one thing I would notice is that like I would kind of cringe a little bit when clients were going grab glitter because I was like, oh man, it's going to be, I'm going to have to get glitter. It's going to be everywhere again. I'm going to have to clean it up. And so I had to learn, okay, what is a compromise where I can meet my client's needs and, you know, my discomfort doesn't mirror, you know, anything. It doesn't impact their experience in the space with me. And so one compromise that I found is that I no longer have loose glitter. Mm-hmm. I have glitter glue.
Glitter glue.
Cause it just, it does not create the same level of discomfort for me. And, you know, and not making the work that I do with my clients about me, but just again, providing an example of how our comfort with creativity, you know, it, again, it's like, it's that parallel process to where, you know, if we're feeling resistant to certain mediums or certain interventions that might require creativity, you know, I think in some ways, you know, our clients might be able to pick up on that, you know. And I also think about creativity like in the everyday aspect, because, you know, not all of us are necessarily like interested in you know, like art making, like that type of creativity. And, you know, I think we're all creative in some regard. We're like, as humans, I think we're naturally creative. And, you know, creativity, it shows up differently from person to person, and there's different levels to it. And, you know, I think it's important to recognize that creativity is not a synonym for being an artist.
Say that one more time. That was so beautifully said.
So creativity is not a synonym for being an artist. I personally don't identify as an artist myself. And it's so interesting because like a lot of folks that know me, they say that I'm an artist. I'm like, I don't actually identify in that way. I identify as, you know, being creative and being comfortable with creativity. And, you know, I think for me that, you know, I define, you know, like creativity and everyday creativity is being able to allow space and permission to be able to use our originality and our authenticity in how we show up and how we think and how we engage with other people, and how we engage with just, again, different things that are presented to us, whether it be, you know, in a more directive way or just in working with the client and just using your creative thinking. So in a thinking type of way versus a experiential way, if that makes, I hope that makes sense.
That makes so much sense. Well, actually that was, I love the, that how you like, carved the spaces out for those two things of like, there's creative thinking, but then there's also like creative experience or expression. And we can tap into both of those things as therapists, as individuals, however, in our sessions, but they're both two really equal modes of creativity, which is really cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So creative thinking, and then there's experiential creativity, and allowing space and permission to engage in those things, and both of them, both, you know, as therapists and as people.
Oh, I love that so much, that difference between those two, because I think that is something that, like you were saying with the, you know, it doesn't mean you have to be an artist. I think sometimes there is this focus on creativity is only the experiential, making a beautiful product, and then you're an artist and you're a creative, versus we never think about like problem solving is creative thinking, and you have to have, and everyone needs to problem solve, you know,
absolutely.
Like, and that is creativity in itself too. And we don't put a lot of weight into how important that is too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. So using your problem solving skills, or, you know, even like conflict resolution, like that might require some creativity, because you have to think about, how can I work through this conflict in a way that, let's say, meets my needs as well as the individual needs, right? And so like being assertive and, you know, again, being able to think in a way that is informed by your originality and your authenticity and being comfortable with that.
Yes. Oh, that's perfect. Because that is, I feel like we've got these beautiful concepts. And I know that for like therapists, if you're a therapist listening, or I usually get to the point of then I'm like, oh my gosh, I love all of this, but how do I do this? Or how do I tap into this? How do I kind of find that way to like enhance my creative thinking, or being able to create that space for myself? What would you say to some therapists when they're trying to think of, how do I hone my creativity? How do I make space for it?
Don't overthink it, first of all. That would be the first thing. I would say, don't overthink it. Just do whatever your heart desires. Like, don't feel pressure to conform to any of the supposed to's. Like, I'm supposed to be creative in this way, or this is what creativity is or creativity isn't. Just enjoy the moment and to let things flow naturally. Discover your interests, rediscover old interests, go on an adventure, right? Like a COVID-friendly adventure, right? COVID safe. Like, go hiking, for example, if that's something that you enjoy doing, or if there's like a site that you've been dying to see that you're able to, you know, let's say like for example, I live near like the Potomac, and sometimes it is so beautiful to just get in the car and to drive. So folks in Northern Virginia will know exactly. I wish I had a picture of, I wish that I could like, maybe, so folks that are listening, Google George Washington Memorial Parkway, George Washington Memorial Parkway. And you'll see that it's like one of the most scenic drives that we have in this area, because it's like this long parkway where there's like, it's like covered in trees, right? Like, there's trees on both sides of the road, but then on one side, like, there's the Potomac River, And it is, it's so, for me, it's like so like relaxing and scenic. And you see like the wild animals, like you may even see like a bald eagle over, like I've seen eagles over there. Like I see like all kinds of, you see, of course, there's like deers and foxes and, you know, you see like wildlife and just the water itself and the trees, and just being in nature is so scenic. And so when I say go on an adventure, I know we're like so limited right now. You know, and actually, you know, pre-COVID traveling was like one of my favorite ways to indulge in my creativity, is to explore a new place. And so it's so hard, especially like to not have or to be limited, rather, to be limited in our ability to really be able to explore and go on some of those adventures that maybe we've been dying to go on. And so finding adventures that are local, that you're able to just go and be safe, and it might just be a car ride down a scenic route, and just laughing together with other people that you love, and just having fun with each other, finding joy in those everyday moments with friends and family. It might be like cooking something new, or a meal you've missed having for a long time, building a garden, whether that's like an indoor or an outdoor garden, go on a hike, exploring like a new trail. I love makeup, and so so I think like even just like planning makeup, for example, you know, doing your hair, styling your hair differently, you know, planning an in-home date night, maybe even just doing whatever it is that you feel the desire to do, that would allow your mind and your to wonder and to really indulge in the joy of creativity, however you define creativity. And I think the important thing with it is to just be in the space and to enjoy it, and to not feel any type of pressure to do it. There's no right or wrong to your creativity. I think it's important for everyone to recognize that there is no right or wrong to your creativity, and whatever creativity you choose to engage in is valid and has meaning. And it's just, you know, it could be so therapeutic for us to have those moments.
Yes, I love how you put the emphasis on, it's not necessarily like what you're doing or like, but it's just you having the space to be enjoying the moment that you're doing the thing that makes you feel good and that feels creative for you. I love that individuality of it, you know, where it's not so much about, you know, what you're doing, but like how you're experiencing it.
Yes, it's the experience that you're having, the freedom that it brings you.
Oh, the freedom, yeah. That word, I think, is so creativity, when you can be in a place where there's that freedom of, if it's like exploring or, you know, the playfulness or, you know, freedom of interaction. I think of one of my big creativity things is D&D. I play D&D every weekend, mm-hmm. and you just get to be in a pretend world, and it's very freeing, where you're just like, I can do almost anything, but you know, like you have freedom, and we don't always get that in day-to-day life. So it's really beautiful that we can have that in creativity. We do have freedom.
Absolutely, we do have freedom, and it can bring us so much joy and meaning and purpose, and it can allow us to connect with ourselves, our inner selves, on a deeper level, as well as to connect with others on a deeper level as well.
Oh, so, so much. Yes. But those shared experiences are so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I love that, you know, in talking about this beautiful balance of all the things that creativity can bring forth, I think there's also a very important thing is that a lot of times we have to traverse fear with creativity, or there's fear if we're trying something new. And maybe some people don't feel this at all, but if fear does arise, or that resistance when it comes to creativity, What kind of role do you think that plays, or how do we move past that when fear does bring itself into our creative space?
It holds us back, you know. I think it can hold us back, and there's the fear of judgment that I think people that holds people back from engaging in creativity. But then I also think there's self-judgment with it as well. I think sometimes, and this is like, it's so interesting that you bring this up, because I think about like with parents, for example, and sometimes as play therapists, one thing that we have to do is kind of help parents. We have to like coach parents, so to speak, on finding ways to respond to their child's art that doesn't assign a adjustment, or that doesn't place like a, like let's say like it's so pretty or is good or I love it, or you know, where they're putting their own stuff on it. Because for the individual like that created it, they might not identify it as pretty or lovely or good, or you know, they may have their own feelings about it. And I think it's important to not pass those, you know, those judgments on someone else's creative process. But I think that, again, going back to parallel process, you know, the same thing with us, right, is to not prejudge ourselves or assume a judgment from others in terms of it being right or wrong or ugly or pretty, and just allowing it the space for it to just be, you know, to just be as it is without the pressure of it having to conform to any ideas of what pretty or acceptable art is, you know, because I think all art is just what it is. It's art. There's a saying, right, when it comes to art, like, you know, the beauty in the eye of the beholder or something like that, right?
Yeah.
You know, beauty in the eye of the beholder, and allowing a space where fear does not lead to self-sabotage in a way. Because I think there's moments where people get intimidated. I think there's an intimidation that creativity is met with that prevents people from fully engaging in it and from, you know, leading lives that are enriched with creativity. And, you know, again, I think creativity could be those everyday things. It doesn't have to be you go to the Michaels store, right? I mean, it could be that. It could very well be, you know, you go into Michaels, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a thing that feel the need to just like prepare for, or to feel like you, like you're, like you've had like training in, for example. I think it's just something. I think, I mean, obviously, like, it's important to be trained in how we use different interventions with our clients for the sake of like your own creativity, just recognizing that there's no right or wrong to it. It's just you enjoying that moment and allowing yourself, giving yourself the permission to fully engage in it without passing judgments on yourself. You know, the self-judgment, I think, is really the fear that holds people back from really wanting to engage in it.
Absolutely. And it's just such a, you know, like a wet blanket, like when that self-judgment comes in of, as it's just, I feel like it's the biggest thing that can kill creativity instantly, in that it kind of stops you in your tracks when you hear, if it's negative self-talk, or, you know, of just like, this isn't good enough, or it's not what I expected, or, you know, I wanted it to look like this and it doesn't. And it can just be so dampening, because then you might not want to do it again or try it again. And then it becomes a cycle. And yeah, it's such a huge creativity stopper, for sure.
Right. It can take the fun out of it. Right.
Yeah.
I think judgment and expectation, I think it just takes the fun out of creativity. And I think removing those two things can create a space where you're just able to, you know, enjoy it without any beliefs of what is supposed to be, what is supposed to look like. and everyday creativity has value. I think everyone's creativity matters. Like, yeah, your creativity matters, and you don't have to be an artist in order to engage in creativity. I think that's been one of the biggest like misconceptions that I think people assign to it, is that, you know, well, I'm not creative, or I'm not an artist, or I don't know how to do this, or I don't know how to do that. And, you know, I think, you know, when we remove some of those expectations, we allow ourselves to really just be fully present and to enjoy it and to have fun with it, and to also reap the value, to reap the benefits of it, is removing some of the judgment and the expectations that I think, you know, I mean, maybe this is like a societal thing, right? Where certain aspects of creativity at times may seem to be collectively more valued than others. And, you know, again, I think, you know, at the end of the day, is really about you having that moment to, you know, I think of creativity as an opportunity for us to release and to care for ourselves and to connect with ourselves in a deeper way.
To give us like not only that self-care space of just, mm-hmm. you know, feeling the freedom and feeling the creativity, but it's also like a self-exploration of like, we right. learn so much about ourselves in those spaces.
Absolutely. A self-exploration and an opportunity for me. Creativity is a form of self-care. I want to live a life that's enriched with as much creativity as possible. I think engaging in creativity outside of the spaces where we're using it outside of the therapy spaces, I think it gives us a deeper understanding and a deeper appreciation for it. You know, I think it's just kind of, it's very similar to like, you know, we talk about like therapists doing their own work. Well, I think as a creative therapist, it's important to do your own creativity.
As creative, you know, like I'm imagining as you said that, of like, even if you think of the thing of what you have to go do outside training of, you know, these outside trainings, or you have to do self-care, or, you know, go to your own therapy or your supervision. As creative therapists, you have to go do your own creativity.
Yes, absolutely. That has to be part of it. Do your own creativity to gain that deeper understanding and appreciation, and to have self-care with it, to have the moments of just freedom to express without judgment. And again, you know, I think doing that, it allows us to be more effective in the work we do as therapists. You know, creativity is something we use to facilitate healing with our clients. We can reap those benefits of creativity being a healing experience for us. I think of like art and play, for example. Like, I think of those as like, they serve as like a container for holding the pain, the memories from our clients' experiences. But I think that we can use art and play as well as a container for what we are holding for them. Because I think we hear stories and we sit with those stories, and it's important for us to release that. And so that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, is that for me, sometimes if I feel like I need to just release in between sessions, you know, I might not have time to do like a full sand tray. It might be doing like a quick scribble, you know, or something, drawing something in session, or, you know, taking a moment to take some deep breaths. It might be, you know, feeling my feet grounded in the floor in my office, or, you know, it's just checking in with my body. And when I have that opportunity to do like a full sand tray, because that's something that does take time. You might not be able to do that when you only have 5 minutes.
Right.
but you know, when you have like, let's say like it's a session where there's like an hour in between, or you get like a no show, for example, and you have those extra time, the extra, you know, hour or so, you know, it could be really helpful to engage in our own creativity. And for me, one thing that I've done is like sand tray. I've done, you know, it might be drawing. It might be like taking pictures. It might be going outside and getting some fresh air. We're all working from home now. And so it might be spending time with my plants in between time with my, you know, literally like going in, I'm going to go check on my plants now and like see what they need. And so it might be spending time with my plants so that I can have a moment to externalize what I'm holding, have a container outside of myself to hold whatever it is that I need to release so that I can show up and be my best self in my personal life as well as my my professional life. And so I think that's another benefit of creativity, is that it does allow us to use, you know, different mediums or, you know, things that we identify as joyful creativity, to have moments to release those things so that we're not holding it and it's not showing up in our personal or in our professional lives. We're able to externalize it. You know, I think that's very important.
Totally. And I think, like, you know, bridging from some of the stuff you said before, this makes me think of, especially working from home, sometimes it'll be like, oh, I have an hour break, I'm going to go like cook or make lunch. And instead of just like kind of being in zombie mode of like, okay, I'm just going to make some food, like more so even thinking like, wow, this is an opportunity to be creative if I wanted to, of like, what am I going to put together? Or like, maybe I'll just give myself a little bit more space in creating my lunch or creating a meal or cooking a recipe, which is something I like to do creatively. That's like everyday creative kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, instead of just going about it, kind of giving it the space, you know, same thing with like checking or looking at your plants, of like, you know, that mindset shift almost of like, I'm just going to water my plants versus I'm going to be with my plants for a little bit. And like, I might propagate one of them and just see what happens while I've got this little break. And like, I think there's that, it's like that extra space that you had said before, we can give that extra space so that we can externalize those things, but we have to like be intentional about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is having the intent, you know, having the intent behind it. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, when we think of, you know, kind of the how we go about doing this for ourselves, of just bringing the importance of creativity into our own personal life as creative therapists, like that self-study of creativity, what are some concepts, categories, kinds of things that we can explore? You know, I think sometimes we usually are like, oh, wait, well, we could read these books and we could, you know, check out these resources. Mm-hmm. But with creativity, there's so much of it just around us naturally. Mm-hmm. What are some of those things that we can explore to be with our creativity or to enhance our creativity?
Yes, absolutely. So I think, you know, working with themes, you know, that's one of the things we do as play therapists, is we recognize different themes that shows up in a child's play. And I could see how that same parallel could, or that same process rather, could be applied to other forms of creative therapies, is identifying those themes that are showing up from session to session. And so I would say, like, you know, learning how to recognize them and being familiar with different themes and being familiar with, like, for example, like miniatures is something that I use, you know, both inside of the sand tray and outside of the sand tray. Let's say I give a client a prompt to select, you know, five miniatures that represent, or that describe rather, how you feel about your day. There's going to be some themes that I might notice from that current session where I may have asked that question and the previous session. And so recognizing, like, what are some of those things that may connect from one session to the other. Also, like, metaphors, I think it's important to recognizing the metaphors that we hear in our clients' stories. Like, for example, like with sand tray therapy, for example, there's so many metaphors that can come up in a client's description or in their narration of their sand tray or in their response to a reflection or response to a question about their sand tray. The miniatures themselves actually are a metaphor for a experience or a memory or a feeling or, you know, whatever it is that the client wants to label it as. The miniature in the sand tray itself serves as a metaphor. And when clients speak, like, you can hear it in the things that they're saying. The metaphors, just they notice them, reflect them back to the client when you hear them. Also, like, nature-based play therapy as well. Like, those are two areas of interest that I have that I really want to, you know, groom better. You know, for me, I see the parallels as well between taking care of a plant and watering that plant, giving that plant like nutrient, like plant food, for example, you know, yeah. the right amount of light, you know, even like for some plants, they like humidity. and you know, that same concept, you know, in terms of how I take care of this plant and the different needs that this plant has, you know, we can apply that to self-care. The needs that you have, the needs that your clients have, the needs of different people might look different in terms of what they do to take care of themselves, but it's important that you do it to keep thriving, right? And so for me, I want my plants to thrive, right? And so I take care of them intentionally based on what their needs are. And, you know, like everyday items, I think is also important, and especially like with kiddos. Like, I think about, so my niece, for example, she came up and she stayed with me she's 8 years old, by the way. And so she came up and stayed with TT, Auntie Krista, for a little while last summer. So I ordered these plants and it came in a box with peanuts, and the box was big enough for her to actually get into. And it's so funny because that box turned into so many different things over the course of the week that she had it. At one point, it was like, it was a boat, and she literally had my dog in the box with her. By the way, my dog is like 65 pounds.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
I have pictures of it. And like, I remember posting it and like people were like, oh, that is adorable. So like, you know, like it turned into like a boat, and then it was rain. And then it was, you know, a piece that she used to build a fort in the living room. And she had so much fun with something like that my brain wouldn't have thought to use a box and peanuts for, just, you know, for to make it into something, you know. But for her, it turned into a toy that she was able to just play with for, you know, over the course of different days. And she had a lot of fun with it. I also think about, like, I like to give some of my plants like filtered water, for example. And I remember just like having extra like empty bottles. And typically I just, you know, I like to recycle the bottles. And for her, that was also like something that she would play with, where like if she wanted to put on a show for us, it would become like a stage prop, or she would use it to like make music, for example. Like, I remember she would like bang them together. Oh, yeah. And then I remember like she would she did different things with, I think they made it into the fort at some point as well. And just, again, you know, I think that was like, that's like the perfect example of everyday creativity and how you don't need like, you know, a trip to the Michaels store to be creative. And it can absolutely be that. And we made lots of trips to the Michaels store because that was some, you know, art and painting was something that we would do together. And something that I do, you know, personally as well. And so I actually, you know, it's normal for me to have a good amount of art supplies just kind of sitting around the house, and I restock when I need to. But I think about creativity in those everyday ways that we can incorporate into our day-to-day lives. Like, for example, like I was talking about, like, redecorating your space, for example. At any point, like I remember, like last summer, a lot of the teenagers that I worked with, they were like, yeah, I'm going to redecorate my room and change up the space. And that's creativity too. You know, that's interior design, right? Like that's still using your, right? Moving stuff around, finding new like decorative pieces to just match the aesthetic that you want in the room. That is creativity. You know, cooking something new, just again, exploring your everyday creativity in ways that feels meaningful and helpful for you. And also, you know, allowing those things into the play space or the art room or, you know, whatever space that you're working in as well, because it can bring so much value to our clients. Another thing that I think about is like when I was doing play therapy in person, right? Like there would be items in the playroom that would be broken or just, you know, having like an item that was missing. And it's so interesting how clients would still manage to make use of it and to turn it into whatever they needed to express or to share, you know, their story in the playroom to get what they needed out of it. And so I think creativity can be so many different things that doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be anything prescriptive, if that makes sense. You know, it doesn't have to have a label to it. It can literally be whatever it is. It can be like going out into the toolbox, you know, to your tool shop, for example, and like woodwork, for example, and fixing together like home repair. Home repair, right? Even that requires, you know, creativity. You know, there's so many different things that, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, a felt sense of pressure to do it in a way that is labeled by, I guess, the masses as this right. is what creativity is. Like, you get to define creativity for yourself. And if we were to name like a book, actually, there's one book that I'm still working on it. I picked it up in January and I've been reading it slowly but surely. Big Magic by yes. Elizabeth Gilbert. That book it's about creativity, actually. It's about, you know, Big Magic is the metaphor for creativity. And she talks about like the spirit of creativity and how creativity, it looks for like a different host, so to speak, like a host of an idea or a concept to bring it to life. And she talks about how when we don't engage with that specific spirit or host of that concept, sometimes our creativity can leave us and find a different host. I really love how she describes creativity and the benefits of creativity. And, you know, she talks about giving yourself permission, your permission slip that's one of the things that's in her book. But that is, you know, I would recommend that book. If I were to recommend any book above any others in terms of just creativity, and how to use it as a tool, like, and actually I think of this, I don't know, like how, maybe it is categorized as a self-help book, but it is, it feels like that to me as I'm reading yes. it. Maybe it is, maybe it is a self-help book.
It does
book.
Feel like that.
On creativity. And, yeah. you know, it is such a good book. Mm-hmm. To really spark and to motivate and to encourage you to use your everyday creativity in whatever way that you define it, and
yes.
and really allowing yourself the space to do that.
That individualized creativity.
Yes. Yeah,
that book reads so easy. I'm only like yes. halfway through it. And I think I just recently, I mean, I'm obviously creativity is my like favorite thing. And I think mm-hmm. I only heard about it a few months ago. And I was like, how have I missed this book? It's so good. And it's laid out so beautifully the way she talks about the different topics. And I love that it's creativity for creativity's sake and not necessarily creativity for a product. Like,
yes.
Not to be creative so you have this beautiful painting, which is also great, but it's more of like creativity in itself. So process versus product.
Yes. Process versus product. Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, like, I agree with everything you just said. Like, it is so, it's an easy read. And she comes off as very, like, the tone of it is very informal. And, you know, and it's just, it's so easy to understand and to, it's motivating, you know. I picked the book up, you know, kind of being in what I called, I had a dry January with my creativity. And I just, you know, I was like, you know, how can I just kind of, you know, spark it again? And I had the book on my shelf since it came out a few years ago. And I just never got around to reading it. And I say, you know, I'm going to read this book finally. I'm going to read it. And it has been one of the most encouraging books that I've read to really encourage and to motivate me to be more intentional about, you know, the everyday creativity and because I think sometimes, you know, our creativity does need a break. And I think that's where I was in that moment when I was like, I need to just kind of read something that will motivate me, but also just kind of, you know, give me a space to just, you know, be okay with not creating, but still just kind of, learning about creativity or just being inspired, I guess, so to speak. And it's a really good book. And so if I were to recommend any like actual book, I would say that one, would be one that would be, a good one to really spark creativity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I'll make sure to put that in our show notes so that listeners can grab it easily if they don't have it and then go and read it. It is such a good book. And I'll also make sure for our listeners, as we're kind of wrapping up, I want to make sure our listeners can follow you and reach out to you, find you online if they want to. So where are some good places to find you online if our listeners want to reach out to you?
Yes, absolutely. So the best way to find me is, I would say, on IG, Creative Minds at Play is my IG page. And, you know, it's a business page that I created as, you know, a space to share, encourage, and motivate in the areas of play, creativity, and mental health, and how those three areas intersect. Yes. I would say check me out there. That would be the best place to find me.
Perfect. I will put the link to that there. I feel like I'm constantly liking and sharing your stuff. I'm like, yes, 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 yes. Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate it.
Yes, so much. It's so nice to have, you know, creativity for creativity's sake of just more messages of that out there. We need it so, so, so much. So I love it. I'll make sure to put that in the show notes so that people can find all of that stuff just super easy. And this has been, Krista, this is so lovely to hear not only your passion and creativity, but your knowledge and just sharing your experiences of how, you know, how important it is to be creative individuals and bringing our creativity. I think this reminder is so important for therapists, and you just had so many beautiful things to say. So thank you so, so much for coming on and being here with us today.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed this time to speak with you and to just share in that space of the creative spirit, and the joy of creativity has been fun for me to just talk about it and to share and to hopefully inspire and encourage all of the creative therapists out there to, as a reminder, to remember to prioritize your creativity and the importance and the value that you have in the field, you know, in the mental health field, and how your creativity is a tool for self-care, self-healing, and freedom of expression.
Yes. Oh, so, so well said. I love it. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. I don't know if anyone else is feeling very inspired to go do their own creativity, but I definitely am. And I think just a little bit more aware about how often I don't think about my creativity or nurturing my creativity. I love the image of our creativity as a plant. And I think it's just so beautiful that Krista painted that picture for us of, you know, that we really do need to nurture our creativity as a plant, as this living thing within us that we access all the time in sessions, and finding ways to really intentionally do that. So I hope you are inspired to do that. I know I am. And I was just so thankful that Krista could come on and give us that gentle reminder that we need that for ourselves too. If you've got a moment and you'd like to support the podcast, the best way that you can do that is to not only just tell a friend and share about what we do here at Creative Therapy Umbrella, but it's also to hop on and leave us a rating and a review. You can do that on iTunes or wherever you subscribe and listen. The impact of something very small, like leaving a review or leaving us a rating, is actually huge. I wish I could let people know. I don't have the words to explain how big of an impact that actually has for us. It boosts us on search engines so that when people are looking for content that we're creating, we come up quicker. So it really helps. You're helping other people find us, which is just so wonderful, because we're all about just spreading knowledge, spreading love of creativity, a love of the creative arts and therapy. So all of that really, really helps a lot. So if you have a moment, hop on and subscribe, rate, and review. As always, we have an anonymous survey that is located in our show notes for you to access at any time if you have any feedback that you'd like us to know. We're all about improving what we do here at Creative Therapy Umbrella, and the best way we can do that is by having open communication with our listeners. So please feel free to write in to use that survey and let us know if we missed something, if there's something you want to see more of, if you have a guest you want to tell us about, and you can do that with our survey. Or you can always feel free to email me too, kate@creativetherapyumbrella.com. All right, we're going to take one last listen to today's sponsor for this episode. And remember to be creative.
At Dynamic Links, we are passionate about serving neurodiverse individuals in an inclusive and affirming way. And we want to help you do the same with the launch of our Dynamic Community. Our Dynamic Community is a monthly subscription program where you get easy-to-use session plans with 5 original songs and activities delivered directly to your inbox every month. On top of all those goodies in the session plan, you also get 1 hour of group supervision each month and a 15-minute mini lecture on a teaching topic to support your neurodiverse clients. The theme for each month is based around that topic, full of original songs, music and movement activities, visual supports, and more.
Ready to join? Visit dynamiclinks.com/community to sign up today.